This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Red Sox front office report this week with Craig Breslow is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox joins us right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. The football guy, the professional, former professional football player in the room, has a question to start about last night's game, which he was asking earlier on the show.
Yeah, Craig, the play at first base when Roman Gonzalez, he bobbled the ball a little bit, but then he steps up with the ball in his hand, he's standing on first base, and the runner never touched the bag. How did they not call that an out? Explain that to me, because I always thought that was an out in baseball.
Yeah, so my understanding of the rule is once the runner passes the base and doesn't set foot on the base, at that point, our first baseman has to present it as it's an appeal. So kind of demonstrably show that he's tagging the runner or he's tagging the base because the runner missed the base, which I think if we're going to be critical of anything, it should be of the rule, because that's a lot to figure out in real time. But that would be the reason that kind of the incidental contact with the base while holding the ball after the runner had passed didn't result in the out.
I didn't know that.
Well, Craig, Willier continues to crush. What's been working so well for him in your mind?
Yeah, so I think he, number one, right now has a ton of confidence. He's got runway, knows he's going to be in the lineup every day. Obviously, we saw last night Alex left him up there for a left-on-left matchup, and he rewarded us. But he, going into last season, he had a pretty significant improvement in his bat speed. This year, he's hitting the ball in the air a ton. He's a really good player. So the more at-bats that he gets, the more we're going to see that.
Alex Cora was on this radio station yesterday afternoon talking a little bit about Rafi Devers and the option, if there is one, for him to do some time over at first base, and that, you know, talked a little bit about how he has settled into that DH role, that he would not be reluctant to talk to him about it at some point. Just to be clear, has Alex Cora, have they spoken about Rafi maybe doing some time over at first base?
So we've had that conversation kind of internally and just batted around ideas as we're trying to surface every possible solution. Now, I think what Alex is pointing out rightfully is we want to make sure that we're not creating one problem by solving another. And, you know, Rafi's greatest impact is going to be what he can do in the batter's box. So, you know, if and when the time comes to have that conversation, we want to make sure that we're mindful of all of those things. And I think considering, we need to consider all options, which doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to pursue them.
Craig, I have to say, this is one of the weirdest weeks I've had watching this team, following this team in 40 years. Why is the team afraid of Rafael Devers?
I don't think anybody is afraid of Rafael Devers. Obviously, we had a difficult conversation with him in spring training, moving him off of third base and into the DH spot because we felt like that was what's best for the team, and we'll continue to operate with what is best for the team front of mind.
But isn't what's best for the team the roster flexibility you would get having Devers at first, Bregman at third, and then have whatever guys are nursing injuries or coming up through the minors be able to DH in a way that would not put them in the field in a position that the number one prospect in baseball plans to play?
It could be, you know, if Raffy is able to make that transition pretty seamlessly, you know, it doesn't impact what happens on the offensive side, then sure. But those are all factors that we need to consider when making this decision.
Has he done anything with the first baseman's mitt as far as you know?
No, so far his infield work has been at third base when he goes out there.
But wouldn't it benefit the organization to see how he could play it just before a game so you could inform the decision?
I don't know that it's as simple as that, because I think, you know, you put a glove on his hand and he goes out there and he starts to get to work, and then there's a bunch of questions about, is he ready? How good will he be? When will he be ready? So, you know, again, I would say all options need to be on the table, and we need to be anchored to what is best for the team, and we will do that.
Craig, when you talk about the transition, you got two guys down in the minor leagues, and Anthony and Marcelo Mayer. When you think about the transition of going from another position to first base, what is that transition like for a younger player versus a guy like Devers who might have only played a position for so long and he's a little bit, you know, a little bit older in his baseball career? Not too old, but he's been generally a third baseman. Is it a little bit easier to move the younger players around to maybe be able to play first base?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating question, actually, because I think you could see it go both ways. On the one hand, you know, you're right. Like, these guys have just been kind of anchored to a particular position for fewer years, just given the fact that they haven't been playing quite as long. And, you know, everything will be new when they get to the big leagues. On the other, I think because everything will be new, you want to be mindful of how many variables and how many new things you might be throwing at someone. You know, I think the other thing here is both Roman and Marcelo profile as pretty strong defenders at their respective positions. And we have to keep at least one eye on kind of the big picture and what the impact on their development would be if we ask them to make a transition for the short term.
Craig, Lucas Giolito fell off the other night pretty badly. I understand he's coming back from injury. The weather wasn't great. Do you attribute those factors into why he played poorly, or are you worried about it?
Well, I think, you know, he's got two big league starts this year. One of them was really, really good, and the other, you know, he'd be the first to admit wasn't. You know, we definitely want to track the performance. We want to track the delivery, knowing that he's coming off a couple of injuries, both the elbow and the hamstring. You know, I think we want to find the balance between not being overly concerned with one outing and also not ignoring opportunities to address or improve what we're seeing. So, you know, our pitching group is all over it, and they continue to work with him. And you know, we're confident that the next time out, he will be better.
Craig, just to go back briefly to Devers, we all heard him at the training camp, or spring training, rather, and he was, you know, said he was a third baseman. Has he said anything to you or Alex, as in not you guys asking him, has he said to you or Alex that he would like an opportunity to play first base?
Yeah, I think it's probably best just to keep those internal conversations internal. You know, I understand why there's a lot of attention on this, and we need to figure out both, you know, kind of the shorter term and long term solution there at first. But, you know, I think it's important that the conversations we're having internally stay internal.
What would be you would say would be the most difficult thing for anybody who's playing the position first base that they would have to learn? Or might be present the biggest problem when you are a first baseman?
Yeah, I think in this case, you know, there are probably two things. One would be because, you know, someone like Devers is coming from a DH role, and you know, granted, he hasn't been doing it for all that long, but it did take a period to acclimate where he was going from being engaged in the field every inning to now trying to figure out what his routine looks like to be prepared for, you know, 3, 4, 5 at bats a night. So that would represent a change. And then I think the other thing as it relates specifically to first base is not so much the catching the ball, the footwork around the bag, the fielding the ball. It's the more nuanced plays to understanding, like, what is your range? Which are the balls that you go after? And which do you leave for the second baseman? And then being in the right place with respect to cutoffs and relays and, you know, making sure that the responsibilities that go beyond just catching the ball with your foot on first base are covered.
Do your analytics guys have any insight into who will be the next Pope by chance?
That is not currently on their list of tasks for the next week or two.
Okay.
So yeah, once we get the first base situation sorted out, we can follow up on that one.
And we'll know about that. There will be some kind of smoke or something that comes out of Fenway Park. Yes.
Yes. We were thinking about using the smoke to indicate who will play first.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Craig, thank you as always. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There he is, Craig Breslow.
Some good nuggets in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. They don't want to have him being over there and maybe booting balls, not scooping balls, just looking very badly, and then that might affect how he's performing at the plate. Because maybe they feel like, all right, you know, see what happened with the transition for moving him to third base, the DH.
Also saying that they would like to keep all of the conversation internal when Curtis asked just straight up, like, has he asked you guys, mm-hmm. can you give me a shot at playing first? Tells me that it's quite the opposite. Like, he does not want to play
yeah.
first.
I bet he doesn't. I bet he's, like, trying to stay as far away from that thing
yeah.
as possible.
Remember when we were at spring training and Cora had said to us and to everybody that Devers would be the DH, Bregman would be third. What was Devers doing whenever there was media in the building?
I don't know.
We saw him taking grounders
at ground
third
balls.
Base.
Yeah,
third and
base.
He was still doing that
mm-hmm.
in the regular season when they were in, where did they start, Texas? When they were in Texas, he's made it a point to do that. If he wanted to play first base, we would know about it, and he would make sure we did.
Yeah, he don't want to, though. I think Courtney's spot on. He's probably like, I don't want to play first base.
Right.
You know, which is... And I think they're probably like, well, then that's one less thing that could present a problem. Because even Breslow said it, that's one less thing that could present itself as being a problem.
Right.
If he's not at first base and there's some issues, then, you know, now we don't have to worry about that problem with, you know, one of our best hitters. Let's figure out what one of these other guys, whoever it might be.
And I would also say, just like my Missoula question, Netflix a year early.
Mm.
This would have been a great season to
yeah.
document.
Yeah, it would. Did you finish the whole thing or no? I did not finish
no,
the whole thing.
I'm not.
I didn't either. I think I have two episodes left.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't. Seeing Casas just too raw.
I would think scooping is the hottest thing at first base.
I was an elite scooper.
Were you? I would think that would be the hottest
thing. I was like a vacuum over at first.
Right. Me and Greg are the best ice cream scoopers in the business.
I like two scoops.
All right. I feel like that would be the hottest thing.
You
haven't posted ice cream in a while.
I know.
You haven't posted ice cream in a while.
I've been staying away from Van Leeuwen. It is beach bod season.
Well,
I mean,
clearly.
We are down to it. Also, I got to get trim for the match.
Oh, right.
Greg, I have a question. Do you do, if you did two scoops, do you do different flavors ever?
That was what I was going to ask. I never do two different flavors.
Not
always.
Yeah.
No.
Always. They have to complement each other. But yeah, why not?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Know.
Oh, I love a good two
scoop. But then
the
flavors have to make sure.
They complement each other. Yeah.
So, like, what two flavors would you go with?
You know what's really good? A mint Oreo with a cookie dough.
I'm so out.
So good.
I'm out on mint
or a
ice
coffee
cream.
Oreo.
I'm so with you, Wiggy.
Coffee
mint ice
Oreo
cream stinks.
That is the worst.
Why don't you just order, you can get a coffee, cookies, and cream. Like, you don't need
different.
To, like, do.
Like, I want cookie dough, but I also want Oreo. And with a little coffee mixed in, delicious.
Coffee yeah. ice cream?
No.
Yeah. I know you say it's an old
yeah.
head.
Yeah, coffee ice cream.
I love
mint.
Coffee ice cream.
Yeah, I can't do the mint.
Yeah,
give me a nice chocolate chip cookie dough, and I'm good.
Mm.
Yeah, the reason I ask is James is vanilla Oreo, and he does it together, and my entire life I never would combine flavors. It's shocking.
Yeah, I never do it.
And you probably get away with vanilla Oreo, like you know you can get away with that one.
Okay.
I like the Reese's cup ice cream too.
Oh, great topping.
Chime, we are setting the match for the 19th or the 20th, correct? Of May.
Yeah, are we locking that in?
Yeah, I think Granite Links is in. So And what time of the day do you want? You want to do it like at noon so people – we're going to have a – Curtis wants to have a gallery, which I think is okay with Granite Links. So you want to do it around noon or whatever so people can come on their lunch break, or you want to do it at twilight? Like
whatever time works best for you, Greg. It doesn't matter to me.
Could we maybe try for the 19th over the 20th?
Oh, see, I was going to say I would prefer – I need the 20th.
20th next-gen board meeting.
Oh, well, we're not working our radio schedule around your personal, what you are personally bound for. I mean, we could try for the 19th. That's a Monday. That's fine.
Well, if it works better for Shime, I just won't be able to make the next gen board.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I won't be here Monday, so I would need Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going away that weekend, and I have Monday off.
Okay. Then Tuesday it is.
I didn't know it was flex season.
Oh, yeah. It's flex season. Once the weather gets warm.
Spring ratings book.
Well, and also, with all due respect to the crew, we want everybody to be in the day after the match.
Right.
Like, there'll be a huge, there'll be a palpable buzz.
I'll be here for the day after the match, of course.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. That's why I'm saying don't do it the 19th, do it the 20th, because I'm here the rest of the week.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We got match one, golf, and then we got match two, Grand Theft Auto 6, but we push that back to 2029. Now.
Yeah, we have to wait until the game actually comes out.
Don't have a gaming platform anymore.
Well, by the time the game comes out, they're going to come out with like 8 new gaming platforms.
Yeah, wait for PlayStation 6.
And Greg, it's not 1996. You don't sound cooler when you preface something with legit.
So what, I should go PS6?
Yeah, wait for that. That comes out, I want to say, 2027. So you might as well wait for the PlayStation 6 to come out, and then you can jump right up on the GTA.
I mean, literally, I believe what occurred was that Jen was so angered that I was allowing Brees at age 7 to play Grand Theft Auto with me that she threw out my PS2, I believe is what happened.
I love Jen more and more.
What's wrong with, at some point you have to learn about life. What better way to learn it than Grand Theft Auto?
By stealing cars.
Right. Right. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. We are going to get to Hill Notes coming up, but right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. The Celtics go down 2 games in the Eastern Conference semifinals, now heading to New York. Final score was 91-90 after once again being up 20 points. The guys have now made only 25 of 100 three-point attempts in the series. Jaylen Brown and Derek White led the team with 20 points each in the loss. Game 3 in New York is Saturday at 3:30. Other playoff games last night, the Thunder tied things up with the Nuggets in Game 2, 149-106. The Red Sox get a win over the Rangers, 6-4. Willier Abreu had 2 homers in this one, while Alex Bregman had his 200th career home run. He's one of only 34 active players in the 200 club. Tanner Houck went 4 2/3, giving up 2 runs on 6 hits while striking out 2. Last one with the Rangers today, first pitch at 1:35 with Brian Baio taking the mound. Lenny DiNardo joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh kicked things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. And in the NHL, Dallas goes up a game on the Jets after game 1, and the Maple Leafs go up 2 on the Panthers. And that was brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, it is, let's see here, 63 in Boston, afternoon high at 69.
Hill Notes coming up in a moment. Do we have time first for a good deed of the day on this show?
Always.
Okay. Demetrius from the Cape, regular listener of this program, has an online auction going on, which he would like to plug. Hello, Demetrius.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for, and everybody else, thanks for having me on.
Of course. What are you doing?
So, to talk about the beginning of the genesis of this foundation, my daughter Carolina, who's now 30, 3 years ago, December 7th, was diagnosed and had surgery for a brain tumor that is cancer. And her friends from college, 3 of her friends, set up a foundation called the Smiley Fund, and all monies raised goes directly to the neuro-oncology department at Mass General for brain cancer research. Mm-hmm. So for the last 3 years, conservatively probably raised, I know we're not in your ballpark yet, Greg, but close to a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Awesome.
Towards brain cancer research. And right now we're at the beginning of Brain Cancer Awareness Month, and we have an online auction for various golf courses and experiences on Nantucket and Cape Cod and off Cape Cod.
And you have you actually get around with Tuukka-Rask, right?
Yeah, so if people go to smileyfund.betterworld.org, and they'll see the Smiley Fund as an online auction. If you don't want to get involved with the auction, there's also a donation button. Goes directly to the foundation. And, Tuukka agreed, and Tuukka is already up to $1,750 awesome. For a round of golf at the Hyannis Port Club.
Awesome.
And he was able to get Bobby Sweeney, and Bobby's a little bit less. He's at $1,500 right now. And those are just two of the experiences. You like to go to Nantucket, I heard. So
yes.
We've got a Nantucket Golf Club has donated a threesome, and you'll probably play with the one of the board directors
awesome.
At Nantucket Country Golf Club. We have Sankaty Head Golf Club, and that gentleman last year donated a round of four, but there was a bidding war, and he was generously enough offered a second round. So that was great last year. And
Demetrius,
we have another round at Hyannis Port.
What's the website yep. again if they want to bid?
It's smileyfund.betterworld.org. So okay. SMILE fund.betterworld.org.
All right. Well,
and there's other golf courses on Cape, off Cape. There's a hotel on Nantucket, Nantucket Hotel.
Awesome.
Offered a two-night stay for two rooms.
All right. Well,
so
listen,
it's pretty good.
We have the most generous, you know this because you listen, we have the most generous listeners there are. So you called the right show.
You do.
I hope you guys do really well, and good luck, and can't wait to see how you do on this.
Yep. Right. Yeah, and if you can plug the Smiley Fund, that'd be awesome. And the listeners, please donate. There's no administrative costs. It goes directly for cancer research. And if anyone's paying attention right now, cancer research is on the block because of a certain administration. And my daughter's cancer is the one that has the least amount of research because the payback isn't enough. These people are left to basically survive because of therapies. And there's no cure, and we need help.
All right. Well, we're thinking about you and your daughter, and thank you. And I'm sure that everybody will get involved.
And we got that website up on Twitch right now, so
excellent.
We're all good.
All right.
A lot
you,
of good things to bid on.
Okay. Hill Notes brought to you this morning by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Bang.
Curtis, shut up. Would you please shut up? They blew the game. They might blow the series. But guess what? A sweep is going to be a sweep. Either you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't know what you're talking about. Which one is it?
I think I've been proven right. They've had 20-point leads in the second half of games 1 and 2. They should sweep the Knicks.
Yeah. They should have swept the Knicks.
Yeah, that ain't happening, though.
I mean, no. It's not my fault that their coach is a dullard.
Do you still believe? I think you said earlier you do, Curtis.
I believe in you, Courtney, Wiggy, Shime. I think that we're doing great, and they're going to win the series in 7 games.
They are.
Yeah.
It's going to go 7. Courtney, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I'm panicky. I'm a bit more panicky than I think Wiggy is right now, but I got to keep the faith, I guess. You know, who would I be to say that they're going to lose?
I'll circle back after game 3.
Shime, the Sharps agree, right?
Yeah, they have the Celtics still favored to win the series at -120.
Sharps know what they're doing. Know how to wager, so, all right.
Greg, you can name 1,000 songs. This whole time, I thought Missoula was a student of analytics. Turns out, he's just a really big fan of the 2009 seminal hit by LMFAO, Shots. Shots, 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 shots. If you ain't taking shots, get the F up out the court.
Like, adjust a little, yeah. Joe. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have the players to adjust.
I mean, Jaylen Brown did it in the first half. I was like, we were on our group chat.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is what we got to do.
He looks
take
hot
the ball
right now.
To the hoop.
Yeah, yep. But then that, guess
get
what?
Get the foul. Get that, like, get the layup.
Then they get up 20 and they get comfortable and they go back to the shots.
And
shots.
There's nothing more frustrating when you have the ball inside and you kick it out for a stupid three.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. And Shime and I are both sick of the follow-away three. Can we just shoot a regular three? Does it have to be a step away, step back, fall away three every time?
It's got to look cool.
That I don't mind. Like, you know, they're like, and I was, as I was watching the game and I was talking to my son last night, like, the, you know, when they always talk about the hockey pass, that extra pass, and they get a wide open look, like, that I don't mind. But the coming off the picks when you're dribbling and pull, like, that's not what they do. That's not the, they are like more of like an open shot, you know, catch, set your feet, shoot. But
they're trying to play like Steph Curry.
Yeah, no.
When they should be playing like Ray Allen.
Tatum doesn't do that well. Jaylen Brown doesn't do that well. Derek White doesn't do that well. Pritchett, like, you know, just shoot the open ones when they're there. And if it's not, try to create some better offense.
So last night in my dream, I'm a producer on the morning show. Somehow you all ran it. And I'm cooking everyone a nice clam and linguine with a white wine sauce for dinner. And all of a sudden I hear Jackson walk up behind me and say, "You forgot the garlic." And then he slices my head off. So have a great day, Jackson. So you don't kill anybody.
Most likely to be, I would assume, out of all of us, a serial killer.
I don't know.
No? I think he said that's too predictable that it would be Jackson.
It's too predictable.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Serial killer.
So it might be Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis would. Wiggy says he'd love to play a serial killer in a movie.
No, not a serial killer. More of like just the like a killer.
Oh,
see,
okay.
My thing would be Courtney would be the ultimate curveball because she's so anxious and paranoid in real life that it would be a total like from left field that she is the actual killer.
She'd be the Black Widow.
Right. But if it was Jackson, his serial killer name would be the Tire Popper.
Jackson's more to come in and shoot the building up.
Oh,
probably just me.
Curtis is in that category.
Curtis is in.
No, I meant I would be shot. I've never had a gun in my life.
No. Just hypotheticals.
I love how Greg can mispronounce the word prodigy, but as soon as Courtney says something wrong, you know, it's a big deal. What's up with that?
Yeah, good point.
We addressed that.
He was a child prodigy.
I thought he was joking when he said
that.
But tragedy.
But it's unintended by Greg. It's just the brain declining.
And it is. You're right about that. It really is. But I need to see Joshua Waitzkin front and center coaching this team. Like, what's he on the payroll for?
I don't know.
I mean, if he's not out there diagramming plays, your pawn for my rook.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's the point of having the guy on the staff?
Right.
You know, Greg, this is exactly what happens when you treat another team like a doormat on the way to another championship. Isn't that right, Wiggy? Another thing, there is nothing better than watching somebody who thinks they're better than you get kicked in the balls and drop to their knees. I love it.
Yeah, that's what the Knicks are doing right now.
So is that the issue? One of the issues is that you didn't really struggle when it came to winning it all last year, and you look pretty good in the regular season. So you just go into this and you don't think anybody's going to beat you.
I don't think it's that you get up by
20 and you're like, all right, let's go back to shoot like getting fancy.
That's why I think it's more
getting
of
cute and fancy.
I think it's more of the end game. And they go, oh, we're up by 20.
Yeah.
We can easily beat this team. And then we get cute. I think it's more of them getting cute and getting complacent. And they're like, all right, we want to – rather than saying let's keep the 20-point lead, keep it to 17, 18, 20, they go, let's see if we can blow them out by 60 and just start hawking up threes. And that's where they try to get cute, and they're doing things, and they're dribbling the ball and doing all these. Then they create turnovers, and you're like, oh – here they come. And then the Knicks, for the past in these first two games, get hot in the second half, and this is what the outcome is.
Jackson here, and I'm looking for a douche move ruling on Courtney for following Santo's location. Where's the freedom and mystery surrounding a relationship? It's part of what's wrong with modern-day society. My fiancé and I like to play a guessing game. And 9 times out of 10, she's correct when she guesses Costco. Just last night, she accused me of having delicious wieners when I arrived home. The telltale sign? The mustard stains in my beard. Needless to say, there was no sexy time to be had by this guy last night.
I got a nice text from Jackson yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was. He sent me a street sign that was like Courtney Ave. It was very nice.
I didn't realize you had unblocked him.
He was never blocked. But yeah, he said West Roxbury loves you. So thanks, Jack.
Great.
Were you following Santo's location throughout the game last night?
No. I was trying to see him on TV, but I never saw him.
You didn't see him on TV?
Yeah, he looked like he had good seats, but his next
that's why we lost. He brought those two Nikados to the game.
Yeah.
Instant.
That's right.
Instant black cloud.
Yeah.
Did you see all the Knicks fans that like stayed after, got that security guard all riled up?
Yeah.
She fell over a thing of seats.
There was a huge fight in the city, too, between Knicks fans and Celtics
fans.
That
was the other night.
Was
right?
it the other night?
Yeah, that
was it nice
that
was, Donnybrook?
Yeah, that was,
I mean, but hey, guess what? They're stomping us. What can we do?
Yeah.
But do you think it was a Knicks fan or an angry Celtics fan who pulled the fire alarm last night at the Garden?
I think Celtics. It was Tatum.
I bet it was Celtics.
I think it was Tatum.
It was Tatum's mom when he was at the podium.
Tatum pulled it and he went to Celebrity Tunnel and got the hell out of there.
Searching for Bobby Fischer? How about searching for some timeouts and some plays and some execution? I don't know. That's what the coach gets paid for, maybe? But what do I know?
Ka-ka! Ka-ka! Ka-ka!
Good movie, though. Excellent film. And then that Netflix series about chess was very good also.
Oh, yeah. The Queen's Gambit?
Yes.
Very good.
Excellent series during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The Celtics are more fraudulent than Coco's attendance in the summer and the spring. I don't get it. We're screwed.
Mm. Yeah, you said no flex days until July, right?
Till July.
You can't during roadshow season.
No.
Yeah. So 2 weeks from Friday is the next roadshow.
Correct.
Kicking off Memorial Day weekend. And we will be at the Lobster Trap in Bourne 2 weeks from Friday.
That'll be a good one.
Special guest I heard from yesterday, Rob Ninkovich, is coming by that morning to hang out.
Awesome.
Central time or?
It is Eastern time.
Okay.
And then the night before at the Lobster Trap. I mean, sorry, at the Training Post. See?
Yeah.
Curtis, I did that old man thing.
It's just you don't yell at Papa if he forgets things. I mean,
Training Post, I would argue, best bar pizza in the Southeast Mass region.
Yeah, take your word for it.
Have you checked out the accommodations yet, Wiggy? Is it up to snuff?
No, I don't even know which one. This the one in Bourne?
I think it's Seacrest Motel. It's supposed to be very nice.
Yeah. Accommodations are the Newport accommodations are
unbelievable.
I can't wait till we get to Newport.
Yeah.
They're great.
I believe Wiggy Moore when he said mozzarella is like the best cheese. Missoula is not the best head coach like he's been saying all year long. I'm sorry, he's not. Look at it.
No, he clearly not, especially not in this playoff run. He's getting out-coached by Thibodeau. Because the other thing I don't like is the stupid fouling of Robinson.
It's weird. It's like they don't even – it's like dealing with a minor detail when the – like the – you know, it's like dealing with the like you're on the Titanic and the water's coming, like the scene in the movie where the captain's in there and the water's coming through the glass.
And you're trying to take a picture off the wall.
You're like worried about what napkins are on the table in the dining room. Like, okay, I get it.
I get it if they're in the bonus.
I get it.
You put them at the free throw line. But all it does is it makes guys pick up fouls and then it puts them closer to the bonus and then they take Robinson out. And then if you foul guys, then better shooters go to the free throw line.
But that's clearly a Joe thing. So he's focused on that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
When it comes to strategy, but he can't mix up the strategy when it comes to shot selection.
Yeah, I don't. That strategy makes no sense. It works when they're in the bonus and Robinson's on the floor and you put him at the free throw line.
Greg, if you lose this match to the former volleyball player, creepily for some reason, youth girl soccer coach who doesn't even know what dormy means, I'm going to be very disappointed in Celtics fans.
I mean, anything can happen, but...
Prepare to be disappointed.
I have a question from the room. The Ken and Curtis show staple. Most to lose, most to gain in the match.
Mm.
Oh, it's like Celtics-Knicks.
Mm. Oh, I think you guys already claim that I suck at golf, so Greg has the most to lose and I have the most to gain.
Yeah, but you've talked so much crap. Like,
well,
I
so
almost
is Greg.
Think you... No, you, I think, have the most to lose. Like, if Greg loses, he'll make a joke about it and be like, oh, my tooth, this, that, the other thing. If
you mean
you
make
lose,
excuses, not make jokes.
Oof.
Yeah. Greg has the most to lose because if Scheim wins, this is his,
magnum opus.
Yeah, this is his Super Bowl, so he'll be talking crap all the time. Greg already tells us he's a good golfer. So it's like Greg's the Celtics in this scenario, Shime's the Knicks. Mm. And if Greg loses,
means I'm clutch like Jalen Brunson.
We are going to be all in like, oh my God, what the hell did we just watch?
Right. Shime's the Knicks. He has the better coach / caddy.
It's true.
What happens if you lose? Does Lauren refuse to smack you around for a few weeks?
No, she'll probably smack me around extra hard. That's a win-win for me.
Shime's punishment is that he doesn't get to get punished at home.
I'm so tired of you guys. You sound like a bunch of front-running bandwagon fans. We had two bad games. It's not the end of the world. The sky is not falling. Celtics in six. Ca-ca!
There are a lot of people who say that. Yeah. And so
nobody that's a fan of this team woke up this morning feeling that way.
No. And I'm
there have been people who are texting, like, you know, the old, you can't jump on the bandwagon if you're not on it this morning.
Oh, so. I know that's what they're saying, but yeah. You watch two 20-point losses consecutively at home in the second round of the playoffs, I'm sorry.
It's concerning.
Pathetic. Yeah, it is. And for all Celtics fans, I think that, like a lot of Celtics fans, think that if you can win game three, then you can win the series, and they can still win this series. But there is a concern because the one thing I didn't think that they were going to do that Detroit did against the Knicks, because Detroit should have won that series, but Detroit choked it at the end, couldn't close out. And that's what the Celtics are doing. And I didn't think they were going to do that. And now it's coming back to bite us on the ass because you're down 0-2.
That'll do it today, Greg.
All right, Sean. Thank you. Hill Notes, as always, brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Jones and Keith coming up in just a little bit. Unlike me and Moo and Shime or Curtis and the tattoo, seems like Paul Pierce pays off his bets.
Yeah.
He had said going into last night's game that if the Celtics did not win, he would walk to work barefoot in a robe. And he's doing it now.
And it looks like he's doing it
as we speak.
Yeah, it looks like he's doing it.
So Paul Pierce also feeling the disappointment and shock at what occurred last night to the Boston Celtics on the parquet, no less. At home, no less.
Stunned.
This is Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken. Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's happening? I just wish Kristaps Porzingis was playing more. I don't like. Did he soil his pants in game one? Like, did they ever say what happened with him? I feel like he's the X factor. We had him last year in the playoffs. They hooped. I just don't understand.
I don't get it.
So he needs more minutes. And I feel like there's less stupid shots when he's in.
Yeah, I Mega was in here Wednesday talking about how it was some during the season. It was some kind of a bronchial thing.
Yeah,
right?
Virus.
Is this the same thing, or is this a different thing?
It doesn't seem like a 24-hour bug or anything like that. It seems like it comes and goes, and it affects him
his breathing and his fatigue. Like, yeah, and he's kind of like talked about it. Don't really know what it is, but it does affect him. And you're a different team without Porzingis, and
yeah,
you know, at least he gives you that pick and roll element to be able to get the ball into the paint. And then what happens is once they do converge to him, it gives you open looks for threes. Yeah. But
he hit a three last night, which he's been struggling with. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I don't know, second quarter or whatever, maybe third. I was like, all right.
Third quarter,
good, he's back. But it seems like he's suffering through whatever that is.
You're a different team. You have no post element of it because Tatum's not a great post-up player. Jalen Brown's not a great post-up player. And
did they test for the Legionnaires?
I don't know. Ooh. Does that Legionnaires affect your breathing?
Yeah.
Don't you get that in a hot tub?
Wiggy gets several things in hot tubs.
No.
But
most require an antibiotic.
Like the air conditioning at if you're staying at a place and they don't clean the air conditioning, the mold gets in there, and then that I don't know.
Ooh.
All right. Well, Saturday.
This is it.
You said it is a must win for the Knicks Saturday.
I said the winner of game three, whoever wins Saturday, I think wins the series. I just think that because what ends up happening, if the Knicks go up, the Celtics are going to be like completely, what's the word, dejected? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
They're going to be, as far as down 3-0, blew two 20-point leads. If the Celtics win, then that gives them the positivity, the energy, and maybe what it does for the Knicks is go, wait a second, we might let this thing slip away from us. So it, you know, that's why I think game three is the one.
Yeah.
Winner of that game is going to win the series.
I'm going to be at Fenway at noon seeing if Devers is taking balls at first base. I will report back.
Have a blast. Yeah. You and James, Curtis. Enjoy it today. It's going to be a great day for that. And as I mentioned, Jones and Keith next. You can not only listen to them, but you can watch them on YouTube or on Twitch. And this station on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. And if you're looking for something to do over Mother's Day weekend with the kids, bring them to Springer's and take part in their Locket Bar event. And the kids can create a one-of-a-kind locket for mom. So just go to springersjewelers.com to learn more. We are back tomorrow morning, weekly wrap-up with Acrobatic. And we'll get you ready for that Celtics game on Saturday. Thanks for your patronage. Now the time has come for leaving.